Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast. I have two very special guests today, Alexander Tom, Clinical Associate Professor and Associate Program Head, and Jesse Carlo, Assistant Professor and Program Head of BFA Musical Theater at Pace University. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Hi, y'all.
So, we like to get to know people before programs. So, I would like to start by asking Alexander to tell us a little bit about his background and your time that led you up to Pace University.
Yeah, so I actually didn't major in musical theater really ever in my life. My undergrad degree is in music theory and composition, classical music theater. Theory and composition. And then after that, I went and got my master's in conducting at Shenandoah Conservatory. And then I actually went into a visiting assistant professorship at a small liberal arts college, kind of where Chicago is. And then I landed this job like January of 2020 before everything kind of broke loose. And my original job was like the resident music director and supervisor. And that's kind of my wheelhouse. I do a lot of music direction. I am a keyboardist by trade. I have vocal training, but kind of what brought me to Pace was like the caliber of student talent here and the ability to collaborate with everyone, like knowing the people that were graduating and seeing them on stage and being like, that those are the people I get to work with. Like, absolutely, I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. And Jesse, you are a newly minted program head at Pace. Tell us a little bit about what led you up to your time here.
Gosh. So I have a long love affair with theater. So I was, I was on Broadway, Broadway National Tours. I did a lot of international touring, working with some larger entertainment corporations. The suitcases lose their glitz and glamour pretty quickly. And so I decided after having a bachelor's degree in musical theater that I would go get a master's degree. And if, as long as I was going to school, I figured I would stay put and I wouldn't be tempted by another contract. And I did. I got a master's degree in interdisciplinary arts and education. And then I went on to get a PhD in with a focus on theater studies and social justice, social change. I had been working now for about 12 years in the academy. So it's been a long journey here in the academy as well. So with all that said, I found my way to Pace via Columbia College Chicago, where I was at previous to here, and I was the coordinator for the musical theater program there. It was just time. It was time for me to take a step in a direction that wasn't going to kind of be a lateral move. And I wanted the opportunity to enter spaces and do the kind of work that's necessary that we're doing right now, which is, more equitable practices in theater, and to have a bigger hand in that process by joining academic leadership, so to speak, and still being in the classroom with the students, which I love. So
great. So, Alexander, when students are at Pace, when do they interact with you? What are your teaching responsibilities or music directing responsibilities?
Yeah, so my undersigned title is resident music director and supervisor. So I essentially am on every production in some capacity. I mostly interact with the music director, and Jesse and I will participate together in like hiring creative artists that direct a music director and work for us. But I teach first years, so I actually see them all at once for most of their time. And I teach the first year theory class, and we do a lot of fundamental music, but we also spend a lot of time like talking about what is the audition book, what does the 32-bar cut look like, what is it to like go and do audition prep, what is it like to sing in an ensemble, because I think, right, fundamentals of music, especially for music theater, a lot of times is just like theory and notes. But for me, it's like, that's all fine and dandy, but how do you put it into practice? Because like, I'm gonna interact with you as a music director at some point. And these are the skills that I think you should have when you're working with someone that at a specific level. And I like to like intertwine that with curricula. Mm. And then the other class I teach is first year seminar. And that is what we're known for in our Hatched and that kind of first year showcase.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about Hatched soon. Jesse, yes. What about you? You're just walking in the door. So if there's ever anything that I ask you that we're not sure yet, let's just punt it to Alexander. But when are students going to get an opportunity to work with you?
So that is a very good question. Outside of my role as the program head, and seeing myself as a facilitator of their journey, and to be with them as they progress through the program, I will be teaching. What those courses will be, we don't know as of yet. My area of expertise is really honing the craft of the musical theater actor. Really, lots of focusing on musical storytelling, the music as subtext, how we can use actual musical scores to actually score a script and have an emotional relationship with the music. I don't know right now where I will be teaching. I know there's a couple of foundational courses that are coming out in anti-racist and equitable practices in theater that I will I'm being asked to teach. So I will meet most of the freshmen, but I will meet that course will be required by the entire PPA, the Performing Arts School. I'll meet everybody all at once, and then I'm assuming later on in their journey. The scenes and songs type of work, mm-hmm. I'll meet with them later on.
So as we transition to start talking about the actual program, I always put our guests on the spot a little bit and ask them for 60 seconds or less, their elevator pitch on the program. Give us 60 seconds of why Pace University? Why Dyson? Why PPA? Why Pace? And Alexander, I think this is going to land firmly in your court.
Oh, I played sports once, but I was not good at them. I just want everyone to know this. I held a tennis racket and said, not for me. Okay, elevator pitch. I think Pace Performing Arts in the BFA program is a great place to be, not only because we're in this city. I mean, you can take that away for a second. But the one thing that I think a lot of other programs lack is that our adjunct faculty are working professionals, but they're also dedicated to teaching. And we've had adjuncts here for 16 years that have not left, that have taught the same classes and have updated the classes as necessary, but have also continued to work within the industry. And I don't think you see that often. I think some institutions, they cycle around. But we have people that firmly stay, and I think that's a great thing. I think the other thing is, like, we offer performance opportunities that are not as typical at other institutions. We have a recording studio. So last year we recorded two kind of demo cast recordings, which I don't think other institutions do. And it's a great way to understand that process as a student. We do three main stage productions. We have significant amount of program projects throughout your 4 years here. And then our artist in residence program, which everyone loves, is when we bring in a guest artist to come in, do master classes, do a program project, have town halls with our students, and there's two a year, one per semester. And we've had people from Victoria Clark and Andrea Burns to Justin Guarini and Aziza Barnes. So the spectrum of artists that come and want to work with our students is kind of bewildering to me, but I love that they want to work with our students because our students mm-hmm. work. That was more than 60 seconds, y'all.
It was a bit more, but there's never a stopwatch running. It's fine. But I'm going to put Jesse on the spot too. And this is just off the cuff. I don't normally ask the questions like this, but Alexander just told us what the program is. Jesse, you're new blood coming into the program. 60 seconds or less. What do you hope to do with the program?
Oh, great. That's better than to say what the program is. I'm well aware of what it is. Yeah, I will add, just to piggyback to what Alexander said, one of the other things that's really great as opposed to other conservatories is that our students do work. And many of them work while they're here, and while they're training. And we find ways to provide for them during that time and guide them during that time. So it's never really an either or with PACE, which a lot of other institutions, there are really strict, guidelines and protocols around no auditioning within this particular time, no working outside. So I think that's a lovely benefit that our students have, because being situated in the city and not being able to access what the city provides would be, and having all these amazing faculty members that give access it would be detrimental to them and to us too as an institution. My hope for the program is to continue its trajectory. I mean, it moved very quickly from a top 10 conservatory to a top 5, which is really exciting, and to continue that work, but to do that work more equitably and more inclusively, and thinking about the inclusion of voices and bodies and spaces that have been, you know, stripped away from some folks because of, you know, oppressive history of theater, right? And it's really lovely to be at a place where these conversations are happening more openly. And I look forward to seeing our students become the model for what theater can and should be and how it should be equitably practiced.
Beautiful. So let's imagine that I am a freshman BFA musical theater student coming to Pace and heading into my first year. What does that first year look like for me?
Yes. So the first year, so I always say this caveat and all my first years know this. Your first semester, we don't allow you to get cast in a main stage production. And I think that's a fundamental reason is that I know everyone wants to, but you come into a very different academic environment. And there are so many shifting parts that adding a production that adds 4 hours to your day, right, burns you out much quicker than just getting adapted. Now, it's not to say there aren't performance opportunities. They do get to do program projects. They do have their scenes and their first steps and their acting classes, and they do artists in residence. So it's not for naught. But your first year and semester with us is fundamental basis. So you have your acting one, you have music theory and fundamentals with me, you'll have ballet, and then you'll have probably two core classes your first semester, artist in residence and a program project. Great. That's already like 5-6 things. Your second semester, we start to layer on and add a little bit more into that. You get your first acting through song course, which is first year seminar once a week. And that's a really great chance for all of the first years to come together. It's a really big community session because normally you're split into two cohorts because 34 students is a lot. So it's the first time to kind of come together and work together and have that moment. And then you start to audition and you can get cast at your second semester with us. Mm-hmm.
So can you talk a little bit about any gen ed requirements that are required as part of the program? Everyone, you know, singing, dancing, acting is obviously the main part of this,
yeah.
But what are the sort of non-artistic requirements?
Yeah, so I think it's hard to figure out, but Pace Performing Arts is part of the Dyson School of Arts and Sciences, which means we're part of a university. So while we have a conservatory-like education, you still are required to meet those university gen eds. And so that's math, English, sciences. But the kind of wonderful thing about that is that you do get to explore other things you're interested in and or then minor in them. So we do have a lot of students that get to like minor in business studies or minor in graphic design or they minor in something else. And that's like an interesting way because like those skills that you are minoring and studying, you will use in your career. It's not like you're minoring in something that is maybe so far tangential that you're like, I have no idea why I'll use this, right? But I do think it's important that you get that basic skill set because like when all of us have left college and been like, now what do I do? Right. And having that kind of skill set, being like, oh, I could go work in an office as my, you know, part-time job while I'm auditioning, or I could go do graphic design for myself and so on and so forth.
What minors are available within Dyson or within,
Within the arts and sciences, I'm not sure the full list. I have students that have minored in English and graphic design. We have students currently doing that. Within Pace Performing Arts, the music theater track, you can minor in commercial dance, but that's really the only one that it has an available track within kind of the way classes are structured right now.
If students are coming in with a lot of with gen eds already taken care of by APs or by dual enrollment courses, is it ever possible for them to double major?
It gets real hard because of how our classes are structured, right? Mm-hmm. It's so particular because Pace Performing Arts isn't necessarily on the same course schedule and times as Dyson. So there are moments where like, yes, you could take a core class to double major in a business class, but there are also moments where that core class is at the same time as your core class for music theater, right? And it's very hard to kind of get those in between. So minors are generally what we ask or what we allow. The big reason is, as you age through the program, as you go through it, right, you start to do more, not only within Pace Performing Arts and the music theater major, but you start to audition a lot outside. And that starts to conflict with being able to double major.
Mm-hmm. You keep mentioning, or both of you have mentioned now, that students are able to work outside. And I can attest to that from my own students that are in your program right now, that they're telling me that they're working outside and getting sent on auditions and taking the train in to Pennsylvania to work. And it's wonderful to hear that they're getting such great exposure so early on, too. The student I'm talking to specifically is only a sophomore, so that's really great to hear. Let's walk through the performance opportunities. I believe you mentioned Hatched, so let's talk about what that is first, because I think that is their first performance opportunity, correct? Or can they do...
Second semester, they can get cast in a main stage.
Okay. So tell us what Hatched is, and then we'll talk about all the other opportunities.
Yes. So Hatched is the same thing as a first-year showcase. It got its name because we used to do it at 54 Below. But what we found is it's significantly easier and it's more fun for everyone involved to do it on campus. And we just did it for our first time on campus, partly COVID restrictions, partly financial restrictions, but also for me, I think it's so important that like first year showcase is about expressing yourself, not trying to like be in that audience mindset just yet, right? You're still learning fundamental principles. You're still understanding acting through song. So Hatch is like a great way to be like, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm going to be. I like to look back at this and be like, look at all the growth that I've done. So Hatched happens. After that, simultaneously, you could be in a show. You could be in the main stage. And we usually do two in the fall and one in the spring. So if we're calculating total number of production opportunities, three main stages throughout the academic year, two artists in residences, which brings you to five. If you include senior showcase, six. If you include first year showcase, seven. And then program projects, usually two a semester, brings you up to nine. So usually there's about nine things a semester. It's a lot. Jesse's like, what? Hi!
That does sound like a lot.
But it's important that we do those because like students need to understand taking technique that they learn in the room and then applying it. Mm-hmm. And Jesse and I have talked a lot about this, but you know, the ethos of the program before I kind of came as intern program head was a lot about industry and just getting into the industry. And I don't think that helps in the long run cultivate holistic artists, not individual artists by any means. And so we've spent a lot of time shifting the culture and the community to understand process over product. But the only way for process over product to stick is providing opportunities in order for that technique and that process to then flourish. So while nine seems like a lot, right? Nine is kind of, for me, like the middle ground for enough students to understand what I'm learning in acting through song or MT technique two, I can apply to my program project. What I'm focusing in on first year showcase, I'm gonna bring to my audition for my sophomore year, so then I can participate further in callbacks to possibly then get cast in one of the three main stage projects.
And are there also student-led productions or groups?
There is. We have two student organizations. There's the larger one that belongs to Pace University, and I'm actually not sure what the name of that is, but there is one, and they did Spelling Bee this year. And we had a lot of our students participate in that, and they had a student music director, and it was great, I've heard. And that's fair game. Like if you're not in a show and you can make that time, absolutely. The other organization that we have that does showcase or have a concert is A Night of Color, which is our Students of the Global Majority come together and they perform for a night and they raise money, which I love, for a scholarship for an incoming first year.
Great. So tell us about where those shows are performed. Talk to a little bit about your venues.
Yes, venues. Okay, I can tell you what I can tell you. We have the Schimmel Theater Group, or the Schimmel Theater Center, and that is a union house. It's a very, very wide proscenium. That thing is like 40 to 50 feet. It's long, y'all. But it is where we do one main stage. So we tend to do the spring main stage there, and then we'll borrow from Actors Studio the 80 Greenwich space and to do one main stage there, which is kind of a high tech black box down in the Wall Street Financial District area, a little closer to Battery Park, to be honest. And then we'll do one smaller show, which is what we'll do also in Schimmel, but it's considered Schimmel rep in the sense that, like, there are no additional things being done. We don't add lights. We don't add things. It's the rep plot that's already up, and we kind of utilize that for the show. So we used to have another space called Shaverly, which was our black box, but COVID restrictions do not allow us to use Shaves. So Shaves is out. But we did get pre-productions back, which is important.
Let's go through and chat a little bit about notable alum or faculty members, some names that students might recognize.
Oh, you want me to do this? Okay.
We can pause while you Google if you'd like.
No. I won't Google. I know my students. Nathan Levy is on Dear Evan Hansen. Sammy Williams did Carolina Change. And then I'm trying to think. So this is the wonderful thing, and this is why I love the Pace Musical Theater Instagram right now. It's student run, but what they do is an alumni spotlight. And every time someone kind of has or wants to be spotlighted, they've done it. And so I'm going to ask that the listeners go to that because I don't want to be wrong about some of these things. Mm-hmm. But I will say faculty-wise, almost every one of the faculty that we've has had something in the past 2 years during the pandemic. JV Marconti, our associate professor of acting, is the associate director for the Once Upon a One More Time Britney Spears musical, Broadway bound at some point, fingers crossed. Aaron Dilley is the standby for Sarah Jessica Parker at Plaza Suite, and Aaron Dilley went on when SGP was out. We have Celestine Ray, who is a Meisner actor teacher. We have Larry Ballard, Michael Warner, who also have private studios and film TV commercial. This year we had Emily Skinner teaching MT Technique 2, and then Aaron Dilley actually was able to teach in the fall MT Tech 1. Andrea Burns came in and helped teach. I totally got these names wrong. Let me rephrase, rewind, back up, try again. Okay. Emily Skinner taught Scene Study. Andrea Burns taught MT Tech 2, which is a sophomore class. And Aaron Dilley taught MT Tech 1, which is a fall sophomore class. There, that's more correct.
We were taking notes, so thank you.
but it's kind of amazing that we have these people that are interested in teaching with our students. And I think it's important that, like, when we hire these people, we're looking for teachers that have experience in teaching, not like industry professionals that are just like, I don't have a show, so I might as well just teach, right? I think it's so important that, like, performers that teach well are the ones we're looking for because of how we want to shift the industry. If we got performers that just teach, that do all one-off masterclasses, right, you end up perpetuating a lot of things, and that's really hard when you're trying to change community and collaborational environments.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, and maybe this is a Jesse question, as someone who's coming in from the outside, what do you think it is about the reputation of Pace that, or the qualities of Pace that have contributed to its great reputation in the industry?
You know, I think that what Pace has in it, that's so special, specifically, you know, the musical theater program, is that the relationships that we have made with these individuals are longstanding relationships, right? These are relationships that that may begin through word of mouth, through knowing some folks, you know, it's the 6 degrees of separation, and then eventually they come here. I think our students are super special, and that creates a kind of relationship with the faculty that are these distinguished and amazing talents want to see this through, because the students themselves are fully and wholly committed. And so what we have at Pace is a program that it remains committed to doing excellent work, but also understands that excellence is changing, right? And so we remain relevant by staying in relationship with folks who are still doing the work, right? Mm-hmm. And that's done in tandem with folks who have now maybe shifted, like myself, who's doing the academic work, right? And stepping into this field, knowing that yes, this is where I was at one point in my world, and here I am now. And this is just a wonderful way to continue to facilitate that collaboration, continue to facilitate those relationships. And hopefully what that does is that blossoms and that grows, right? You know, our students are going out into the world and working even before they graduate. So by the time they're out there in this field, you know, we've already made those relationships. And, you know, some of them I met briefly on calls, and they're like, I'm coming to your office, Jesse. You know, I'm going to come and see you. I'm coming back, you know, and that is, that's what we want to hear, because it says to us that despite many trials and tribulations that, you know, that we experience in the academy and that we experience in the work that we do, we're doing something right, right? And that is that we are prepping the entirety, a holistic preparation of the student to go out into the world and become something extraordinary because they already are, right? We're taking that little spark, and we're working with them to develop that as individuals, but also as collaborators. And I think that mm-hmm. is something that is unique too, is that our students love this collaborative process, right? They love to be in relationship with these folks, learning and growing, and they see the how essential this is to their future.
Mm-hmm. Pace falls squarely into the category of an urban campus. It's in one of my favorite parts of the city, actually. So can you talk a little bit, either of you, talk a little bit about sort of where Pace is situated in New York and what that area is like? Talk about the campus itself, but also the area.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. My brain was like, what? So we're in the financial district. The closest subway stop, depending on where you are, is either going to be City Hall on the Green Line or the Fulton Center stop. And it's kind of a really interesting area because it is a lot of concrete, but then like, I kind of love the Seaport area and knowing that like, I can just walk like two blocks south or even two blocks northeast, right? And I'm in anywhere. I think the great thing about our location is it's actually not terribly inaccessible. Like a lot of our students live in Brooklyn and it's a 20-minute commute. I live in Midtown. Jesse lives on the Upper West Side. It's a 20-minute commute, right? If you end up living in Harlem or offsite your sophomore year, it is an easy commute via express, which kind of is nice because like you get to explore New York City because a lot of the cultural hubbubs and the food hubbubs, because I love my food, right, you have access to, like Chinatown is a 20-minute walk, Little Italy, it's like a 20-minute walk. Like, I'm like, what do you want, y'all? Like, what are we getting, dumps, noodles, what's going on?
I know you all can't see this, but Alexander's actually eating during the recording of this podcast.
People, y'all need to know, and just to know this, like, I don't stop eating. I am constantly eating. And people are like, are you hungry? I was like, yeah, I guess. Anyway. But like, I think the area is great because, I mean, I get it, right? There are four interior musical theater programs on the island, and then like three or four exterior, those off the island, right? Including LIU and then including New Jersey and whatnot, right? But the thing about being on the island and being at Pace University is like the access to everything is incomparable. And the way we facilitate allowing you to be able to like do those things is we're making sure that you have the time to do that, right? We have Common Hour. I've asked all production in my time here to have 2 days off so you students can still work. And then if they want to have a day off, they can truly have a day off and actually take that mental break. Mm-hmm. But the area is kind of wonderful and it can get serene, but it's also compact enough that you don't feel like you're like, what am I going to do today? It's like, there's mm-hmm. plenty, I promise you.
That South Street Seaport is one of my favorite places in the city too. It's like you're on a movie set all of a sudden, just turn the corner.
You want to know a travesty though? Whoa. Guess yesterday was the first time that I walked to the Seaport and I've been here for 2 years, y'all.
Oh my gosh. It's literally like around the corner.
I literally was like, why is there a seagull by my office? And so I made that discovery, y'all.
And tell us then too, like where students are taking classes. So urban campus means it's in a collection of buildings and there's no real, you know, there's no quad or big grassy areas, but where are the students taking both their performing arts classes and their gen eds, and where do they live, and sort of break that down for us?
Yeah, there's really two two plus buildings that PACE students will be a part of. The main campus is One PACE Plaza, and that kind of houses all the gen ed buildings and the dormitories. There is a building next to it that is also dorms, but then literally less than a block away is the PAB building, PACE Performing Arts Building, and that's where all the major requirements of the music theater program, but also all of the performing arts majors are in there. It's a 7-floor building, and we have all of our, I think it's 9 total majors there at some point in time. So it's nice because we're not asking that you go to like 16 different buildings for everything. It's either gen ed building or your performing arts building, and then back and forth in between.
Freshmen required to live on campus or live in camp?
They are.
Okay. And do you feel that after freshman year, most students stay in school housing, or do they move out into their own?
I think it's 60-40. It really just depends on kind of what you want out of your living situation and where you want to be and what neighborhood you want to be in or what borough you want to be in, excuse me. So I have juniors that are still living on campus. I've had seniors that stayed their entire 4 years on campus. But then I also have first years on their second week coming back spring semester being like, so I have a studio. I was like, I hope not yet. They're like, no, it's coming. I was like, okay, great.
Man, I wish I was that kid. Well, I guess I moved off campus second year, but I moved off the beautiful Juilliard dorms to those crappy little apartments across Amsterdam that I should have stayed in Juilliard dorms. But anyhow, that housing is always a question I get in New York City, because if it's not guaranteed beyond a certain time, parents freak out because they're worried about expense and accessibility of housing to the school. So that clarifies that a bit. Let's chat a little bit about the audition process now. And Alexander, I'm going to ask you questions about last year, and Jesse, I'm going to ask you questions about this coming year. So first question I ask everyone, do you pre-screen?
We do.
Awesome. And approximately how many pre-screens did you receive last year?
1,400.
And from those 1,400, how many are invited through to live auditions?
About 900 of them.
Okay.
Now, what I will say is numbers were lower than normal, which I think is at every institution. I think the year before, 2021, we got 2,100 pre-screens, but the invite amount tends to stay the same. And I think I might be jumping a conversation point, but I think it's important is that everyone's like, oh, they only didn't see 500. So they're kind of, it's like, well, it's a question of actually accessibility. And we had a lot of Zoom days this year, which I think is so important because like the cost of coming to an in-person audition is high, especially because you're coming to New York. You have to get the hotel, you have to do the airfare, you have to like cost of that per diem, right? That's a lot. So something we thought and found is that when we were fully remote in 2021, we were seeing a lot more students that we had not seen before. In just different states, in different areas, from different schools. And I think that's so important. And that's why the number is a little high when we see who we're seeing. It's because we're trying to make sure that the accessibility of it remains open.
Mm-hmm. And where do you have your live auditions?
On campus for us. So it's in FIDE, which is nice. So you get a moment to actually see the Performing Arts Building.
Anywhere else other than on campus, though, at regional auditions?
Oh, yes. So we've done Moonifines.
Leading.
Yeah. No, that's helpful because my brain stopped. We did Moonifines, and then we are not a unified school, but where Unifieds goes, PACE goes. Mm-hmm. So we were in Chicago and Los Angeles in February.
So the three, do you just do the two Unifieds,
Just the two.
The two, Chicago and Los Angeles, because PACE is in New York. But do you have auditions during New York Unified so that when students
are there? Yes, we do.
Okay. And then any other regional audition sites at all, or just those?
Just those.
Great. So, Jesse, if somebody wants to be one of those lucky students invited to a live audition, what qualities are we looking for?
Well, I mean, I think the given is talent, right? We want to see that the student has a certain level of instinct and talent. But I think what is essential is that there is also that spark of promise, right? Perfection is not what we're seeking. We're seeking, you know, when you're, this is why live auditions are so lovely, right? Because we get to be in conversation with you. So if it's this moment, you know, you're coming in, you're singing for us, and we have the opportunity to give you a note and see if you can take that note, right? And see that those are the moments that I think that for lack of a better term, sing. And those are the moments that are memorable because, all right, did this individual listen and hear what was requested of them? And did they apply that? And that application is essential, right? Because as you move through the program, you're going to be working with lots of folks who are going to offer up suggestions for your growth. So to see someone in a setting like that, to be able to apply and activate that part of themselves, understanding that they are coming in to be a student. I think that sometimes if we can dispel some myths, I think sometimes when people think about a school like Pace, the idea is like there's this exclusivity, right? And I'm leaning in 100% to what Alexander says is something so important is that what we learned during the pandemic period was that there is a community of super talented individuals that we've been looking over for so many years because everything has been focused on getting people in the door in-person auditions. And we are now being able to bring in a diverse group of individuals who are from communities that we may have never reached before because our Zoom auditions and our online and our remote audition processes allow us to reach them and allow them to reach us, which is, I think, is such a beautiful thing that I don't see us moving away from ever in the future. I think we're going to lean into that a bit. Yeah.
Wonderful. And so from those live auditions, how many, what size incoming class are you aiming for?
Well, what we're aiming for and what the college wants... So, you know, we were at numbers of between like 24, 26 has sort of been historically where we land numbers wise. And this semester, do you want to tell everybody, Alexander, where we are? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We are at 33 first years and 2 sophomores in transfer students. Yeah.
Okay. So, wow, that's a jump. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what sort of things are going to be put in place to make sure that those students are getting the same amount of attention in that class of 33 as they were in the class of 24?
I think,
so we're, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm gonna let you talk this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're really having conversation right now. I mean, we were not sure that the numbers would be this high, right? We do this every year, right? We invite a bunch of folks after auditions and say, hi, we would love for you to join us in the upcoming season, in the upcoming fall. And you always leave room for what we call melt, right? Like mm-hmm. there will be students that will go elsewhere. We'll lose students to other processes and procedures. Sometimes it's cost prohibitive. Sometimes, you know, all the reasons why people choose to be somewhere rather than another place. But I will say that the conversation that we're having now looking at this is exactly that. How do we maintain the quality of the education? And that really is going to require breaking up our classes a little more, adding classes in the same section so that our students are still receiving that one-on-one education. And that nobody gets lost in the cracks because the larger that you do become, the easier it is for people to kind of fade. And we want to make sure that we're reaching our students where they are, wherever they are in their journey and their process with us. So we're still in the works, right? Because one thing that we cannot do, like we can make the class as big as you want it to be, but the one thing we can't do is like add additional rooms or so right now we're in the process of navigating that and the conversations are really focused on quality, right? This is mm-hmm. how do we continue to provide the same quality, if not more, utilizing these smaller compartmentalized cohort. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it makes you feel any better or not, but I've been recording several podcasts today and you are not the first melt oops story that I've even had today. That's happened a few times recently where you make a lot of offers and you're just so darn popular that everybody says yes. So I have a question that whenever I hear a question over and over again from my students or a repeated myth that's floating around on one of the online parent groups or something, I like to ask the question just to hear it directly from the source. But I'm just going to ask, how much does diversity play into your decisions as to who get offer, as to who's getting an offer? It has been asked a few times, and I think the pace, for whatever reason, it's out there right now that Pace is making more offers to students of the global majority and fewer to Caucasian students. Don't fight over answering this question first.
I think the way I have always looked at casting this way is that the skills need to be there. And I don't ever want to look at a class and go through this process with the understanding that I am tropicizing or stereotyping a human being for how they look in order for them to diversify or meet what we perceive to be quotas, right, on the outside, right? I think it's so important that, like, what we are looking at when we are going and recruiting our holistic students, or as Jesse said, like that promise, right? And if those things are there, then I am gladly going to welcome you and offer you a spot, right? It really, though, does become a question of who wants to come to Pace, right? I can offer however many offers I want to offer, right? But at the end of the day, I can force no hand. So who comes here is who comes here. And I think, right, the understanding of, like, accessibility and inclusivity are very important to us, and they're very important as we move forward. But in that understanding, the skills have to be there. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Jesse, if you want to add anything into that world.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one to shy away from, you know, speaking truth to power, that's for sure. But I would say that, you know, there's something interesting about that being an actual question, right? You know, specifically that conservatories and musical theater programs remain predominantly white institutions and that are governed by predominantly white, you know, faculty. And we still have that issue in Pace University in 2022, right? So to be candid, that question is dripping in whiteness and privilege, right? It's a question of why is it that, you know, why is it that, you know, we're going to have more people of the global majority, more trans bodies in the spaces, more folks of the LGBTQIA community? Why is it that they have a space now? The question is, why weren't they there before? And that is not for me to go back and try to change history, but we can be very conscious and active on how we change the future. And so the role that I believe that I'm playing in relationship and collaboration with this phenomenal group of faculty is to make sure that we are making those spaces all the time. And there are talented people that walk through the door, like Alexander said, that get overlooked all the time in some of these other institutions. And here at Pace, we have a promise to not overlook those folks, right? And so, sure, we're going to see a quite diverse group of folks walk out onto our stages and walk into our classrooms. And we are so excited to see them every time, because what they provide and what they present is the reality of lived experiences. And the stories that we tell are human stories, not just one particular group, right? So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well said. If I had one of those little buttons that had applause sounds, I would be playing it now. Honestly, I mean, this podcast is never meant to raise any sort of anything other than just to talk about the programs. But I do ask questions that get asked to me repeatedly, because I can say the same thing that you just said a million times over, but until they hear it directly from you, I would certainly, I think that holds a little bit more weight. So thank you so much for sure. Dispelling that myth that's out there. So we usually wrap up by asking our guests to tell us something that they're looking forward to at their university. Let's start with Alexander.
I don't know if we're allowed to say it because we don't technically have the contract yet. So I guess I won't say it.
Why don't you say it, and then after we're done, you tell me when I can release this.
Yeah. So I'll just tell you. So the production season right now is supposed to be Into the Woods, She Loves Me, and 9 to 5. And I think those are kind of amazing shows to come back and welcome. Not only like an increase in size of our student capacity, but kind of like going back into like really in-person work. And I'm very excited to be music directing Into the Woods. It's been like a show that I've like wanted to do a lot, but it's so interesting. And this is what, I mean, this is why I love my students and I love this program, is that like we can do Into the Woods the way we want to do Into the Woods. Like we're never beholden to like what the paper says. And I love that, like, there's always, someone used to call it the pace twist. And I used to hate saying that, but like every now and then it's like a nice, like squeeze a lime, right? It's just a little bit of salt on the rim. I'm kind of just like, yeah, we're going to have a little bit of fun. This is going to be, everyone here is under 21. What am I doing?
Parents listen to this too.
But yeah, that's exciting. And then I'm actually just really excited to kind of like, and I'm sure a lot of people said this, like this idea of normalcy, but it's like subverting that idea of normalcy. And I'm just excited to like come back after some rest and go back and like focus on craft and what we love to do and why we love to do it, and shifting where we need to shift and having conversations where we need to have conversations. Because I think our students are so talented, not only in what they do, but in like what they want, which I don't think a lot of other programs have. Yeah.
And Jesse, you must have a lot to look forward to this year. So tell us what you're looking forward to most.
I think what I'm looking forward to most is having a little more sense of certainty and knowingness about what I'm stepping into, right? Because everything is so brand new, and there's a lot of changes and a lot of shifting, all for the good, which I'm super excited about. I'm really excited to, I've already met most of the people at the Performing Arts School, and we had a lovely soiree last evening, and we all got to meet each other and, you know, and break bread, which was lovely. I'm excited to meet more students, right? I'm really super excited to meet this incoming class. And I'm excited to be in the energy of a building where musical theater learning is happening. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just really excited to be in that space. So I'm looking forward to that the most.
Great. So if there are students and parents who are listening that want to find out more information about PACE, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
You can just email us. I think that's fine.
Yeah. Great.
And like, well, I don't know. How do
your PACE is actually one of the schools that your email addresses are right on the website, right on your profile. So
yes,
just go to the website for PACE University and look them up. But also there's Wayne as well. Wayne does a lot.
Yes.
Wayne Petro.
I think the way to look at, if you have questions about the program, the way to look at it is if it's a curricular question or something very specific to what musical theater is, send that to Jesse or I. If it is an admissions question or a recruitment question or a financial aid question or anything about PACE University at large, Wayne Petro is your best communicator there.
Awesome.
Yeah, specifically for that question you asked earlier, like students will come to us and like, hi, I'm transferring or I have all of these credits. What do I do with that? That's a Wayne question. But totally send that to Wayne.
Great. Well, Jesse Alexander, thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with me today and sharing all of the exciting information about PACE with our students and listeners. This little podcast is getting about 3,000 downloads a month now. So hopefully this will help reach a bunch of people and we can send some kids your way. And we look forward to having you around here real soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.